The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hello and welcome as we lift up Jesus with Pastor Dudley Rutherford. I'm Kyle Welch. Have you ever asked yourself the question, who is Jesus, or what does it mean to be saved? How about questions like, what is eternity? Or is there a real God, and where is he when I'm really suffering? These are just some of the topics we explore every day on this program. In these challenging times, we believe that God's Word is the source to all our answers. So if you can, get out your Bibles, and let's join Pastor Dudley right now with his message for us today.
And then the fourth part of this definition, it really is, meekness is really about serving. It's about putting God's agenda ahead of your own. And it's about looking at those around you and serving them and putting them first. I mean, one of the greatest stories in the Bible, is, if you haven't read it recently, you need to read it again. It's the story of Abraham in Genesis chapter 13. He's got, Abraham has this nephew, and his name is Lot. Everybody say Lot. Lot is Abraham's nephew, and the Bible says that they were so blessed, their herds were so large that the land couldn't contain it. So Abraham says, hey, we've got to go two different directions. We need to split our families and our belongings and go in two different directions. So Abraham, they go up to this high point. Everybody say high point. They go up on this high point where you can see and off to this direction, it is lush. It is green. There's water. There's like a river, and everything is green and lush. And if you look this way, it's nothing but a desert. I mean, it's just a bunch of rocks. There's nothing green this way. And Abraham, who was probably wiser, probably richer, I know he had seniority, because it's just this little punk nephew Lot. Abraham had every right to decide which direction he would go and say, Lot, you go the opposite. But if you read the Bible says just the opposite. Abraham comes to Lot and says, Lot, I'm going to let you choose. You choose. If you want to go towards the water and the lush fields, the plains, I'll go to the desert. But if you want to go to the desert, then I'll go this way. But I'm going to let you choose. And Lot chose the lush and the green and the what he thought was prosperity and water, and Abraham went towards the desert. And of course, we all know who God blessed. Amen? But that's a picture of meekness. There's no difference between that story than when you leave the church parking lot and there's two cars and you're racing to get out. Let the other person go. This might be the slowest the parking lot ever exits is today, because everybody's waiting. No, you go, you go, you go. You ever go to a restaurant and like you got a group of people and you rush because you want to sit in a good chair? You ever do that? Huh? Next time you go to a restaurant, don't say, hey, which chair do you want to sit in? I'll sit in the other. No, you just go sit in the bad seat. Can you try that? You have some people over and there's only one piece of pizza left. Always give that to the pastor, okay? I was coaching basketball down here at the school, and it was a junior high team, but I had to make a decision who was going to make the A team and the B team. And the first 11 spots I had covered, it came down to the 12th and final spot. I'd cut everybody else. I had one spot left, but I had two kids. There's only two kids left. One spot. And one of them is going to get to be on the A team. And one's going to have to go down to be on the B team. And I like both kids. I didn't want either one to have to go down, but there was only 12 spots. And so I don't know what most coaches do, but I know what I chose to do that day. I called both kids in, and I told them the situation. I said, look, I've got one spot left. It's the 12th spot. One of you is going to get that spot. The other, you're going to have to go down and play on the B team. Okay? And I'm torn because I like both of you. I wish you could both be on the A team, but only one of you can get on the A team. Now, I will tell you this. Whoever goes down to the B team, you're going to be the star on the B team. You'll get to play like the whole game, but you're going to be on the B team. If you come up to the A team and I put you on that 12th spot, I just want you to know you're probably never going to get in a game. But you can run around and tell people you're on the A team. So I said, it's up to you. And I just want to know what you think and what you would do if you were in my shoes, because I don't know what to do. So I thought I would just talk to you. And one kid goes, Coach, I'd really like to be on the A team. And the other kid says, Coach, I don't really care. He wants to be on the A team. Let him be on the A team. I don't mind. I'll go down to the B team. And so he went down to the B team, and this other kid got on the A team. Never got in a game. And the other kid went down there and played every game. He was the star. And guess which one of those two kids ended up having a better high school career of those two kids? It's the kid who went down to that B team. It's just a situation where you're here and you look and you analyze everything. A meek person does whatever's going to be a blessing to the people around them. That's meekness. Are you with me? How many of you have ever heard of punctuation marks? Punctuation marks. Raise your hand if you've heard of a punctuation mark. How many of you don't know what a punctuation mark is? Well, a punctuation mark, you know, you write this sentence, then you got to put punctuation marks in. They're just these little tiny commas and periods, just little tiny. And I don't know if it goes here. Does it go here? Where does it go? But those little tiny punctuation marks make a huge difference in what that sentence reads. How many of you are with me? In the same way, listen to me. This definition of being meek, serving, being humble, gentle, being kind, serving others, power, but it's under control. We'll call this meek marks, not punctuation marks, but meek marks. And in the same way that punctuation marks can transform a sentence, if any person in here would just begin to use these meek marks in all your daily activities, oh, you would make a huge difference in the circles that you travel. Are you with me? Here's a sentence. It's 7 words. And it reads, a woman, comma, without her man, comma, is nothing. Nothing. How many of you ladies would disagree with that statement? Really? Let me show you the exact same 7 words, different punctuation. A woman, without her, comma, man is nothing. How many of you ladies like that? Oh, I see the evil in your heart. I want you to know that both of those statements are false. They're false. Neither one of those statements are true. However, as you read them, they're opposites based on just the punctuation. And I will tell you this again before I move on. If you and I would practice meekness in the world in which we live, we would transform this country if you and I would simply do the little things that make big differences in the lives of others. Number two, write this down. The meekness, the decree, the decree. Everybody say the decree. Now, here's what Jesus says. The person who is meek, that's the person that shall inherit the earth. And I know that doesn't sound much of like a reward. You're telling me if I'm meek, if I'm poor in spirit, and I mourn, I repent, I have godly sorrow, and I become meek, that my reward is that I get to inherit the earth? I don't understand. You know why you don't understand? Because you've never put yourself in the sandals of the people that Jesus was teaching and preaching to 2,000 years ago. You can't understand this unless you go back 2,000 years. Put yourself in their shoes or sandals. You have to understand that when Jesus showed up, you have to know Israel's history. It had been one of great turmoil and oppression. The land of Israel was the home of the Jewish people. They had repeatedly been enslaved, repeatedly been in bondage. They repeatedly had been conquered by just about everybody. They'd been conquered by the Egyptians, by the Medes, the Persians, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Greeks, and now they were under control by the Romans. When Jesus shows up, Rome had been in charge of Palestine for about 100 years. Israel, they lived in an... the Romans occupied their land. Not some Jews. Every Jew, all Jews had hoped and prayed and longed for some type of deliverer. And they had been promised over and over again that one day a Messiah would arrive. And they expected that this deliverer, whoever he would be, once he arrived, that he would arrive with great fanfare, with a mighty show of supernatural power. And they assumed that he would miraculously lead with might and strength and even perhaps a military to rid them of the yoke of the Roman slavery, to establish a true Jewish state. A revived theocracy, a holy commonwealth, if you would. And they believed that once this deliverer showed, once this Messiah appeared, then they would then rule the world. That they would then rule the entire earth. And one day Jesus shows up, and he is supposedly the new Messiah. Supposedly, this is the deliverer. He's finally arrived. The people are so excited. They appear to hear what he has to say. And the very first words out of his mouth is this. Do you want to rule the world? Do you want to conquer the earth? Would you like to inherit the entire earth? And the people say, yes, yes, yes. And Jesus says, all right, here's what you got to do. You got to be meek and gentle. Great causes are fought for by the proud, not the humble. You cannot be haughty while mourning over one's sins. You certainly can never conquer Rome with meekness. And yet that's exactly what Jesus is calling them to do. Listen, our country today, the United States of America, this is a divided country. This is a broken country. It is a dysfunctional country. Disillusioned. It's desperately lost. And here we sit here today on a Sunday morning. We want to be happy. We'd like to be happy. We live in the middle of one of the worldliest cities in the entire world. And we've been caught up in the rhetoric of this world. We've been caught up in the sins of this world. we have been caught up in the godless culture of this world. It has invaded the church. We fight over political parties and political platforms. We argue over COVID-19 and the vaccines. We argue over racial equities and gender confusion. We worry and fight and argue over the value of wearing or not wearing a mask. And here we sit, huddled up in our little church called the Salt Shaker, pointing our long fingers at one another and at the people of this world. And what the world needs to see are people who claim to follow Jesus, people who wear the moniker of a Christian. We need to get out of this Salt Shaker and get out into the neighborhoods and the workplaces of this city and become poor in spirit, mourn over our own personal and national sins, and become meek and begin to serve and love others and put others above ourselves. And that's the only way that we will ever inherit this earth. And as we close, I want you to write this down. Meekness displayed. Who displayed this for us? More than anybody else, including Moses, who displayed true meekness? It was Jesus. He showed courage. He was gentle and patient. He was power under control. And what he did, he came to live and to serve others. He's the greatest illustration of meekness in the whole Bible. He eventually will stand before Pilate, and yet he remains humble, gentle, and meek. He's been hit in the face and slapped by the people. They've spit upon him. They've plucked his beard. They've stripped him of his clothes. His back has been beat and whipped. Thorns are crushed down upon his head. He has nails through his hands and his feet. They have mocked. They have assailed his character in every way. And how does he respond? Does he get even? Does he take revenge? Does he call on God to strike all these people dead? No. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23, he says that when they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. And when he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. You know, that's a great verse. But you know what makes that verse truly powerful is the verse right before it that says he committed no sin and no deceit was ever found in his mouth. Jesus never did one thing to deserve any of the stuff that he suffered. He was sinless. I mean, if you and I get, punished or something, we deserve it. Jesus didn't do anything to deserve what he went through on that cross. Again, verse 23, when they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. Just God, it's whatever you want. Verse 24, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins, that we might live for righteousness. For by his wounds you have been healed. He's the greatest example of meekness. It's our leader, our shepherd, our savior, our king. He tells us how to live and conduct our lives in the Beatitudes, but he shows us on the cross. He was beaten. He was abused. He was ridiculed and mocked. He was stripped. He was beaten. He was crucified. Yet he did not retaliate. And you know, he even turns and he says, Father, forgive them, for they don't even know what they're doing. He put us first. He put us first. When he goes to the cross, he's putting us first because he went through all that for you and for me. And how does that translate to me right now here in Porter Ranch? Well, we need to be just like him. Hey, if you need me to serve, I'll serve. Yeah, hey, you need a volunteer? Hey, I'll volunteer. You need me to help stuff those zillion bulletins week after week? Hey, I'll show up and stuff those things. You need me to help as a youth? You need help in the youth councils, the youth counseling stuff? Hey, I'll do that. You need a decision counselor? I'll help. You need a greeter? Hey, count me in. You need someone to host a life group? I'll host a life group. Is there a job that no one else wants? I'll take that job. If there's a classmate that no one wants to eat lunch with, I'll go eat with that student. There's only two pieces of toast, and one is burnt, and one's perfectly toasted. I'll take the burnt. If there's a parking space further away that I could park that free up space close for a visitor, hey, I'll do that. Is there a service time that's less convenient, but it will allow room for others to attend? I'll take the less convenient service. If there's a sacrifice that's needed, I'll do the sacrifice. Understand this, a meek person doesn't do what he does out of guilt. He doesn't do what he does under compulsion or with a spirit of martyrdom. No, he does it because he's fully surrendered to Christ. It's a choice, it's power under control, choosing to put others first, yielding your agenda to God's agenda and the purpose of serving others to the glory of God. These hands, your hands, should constantly be lifted high, worshiping God, praising God, thanking God, honoring God, surrendering to God, yielding to God, needing God. These hands should always be lifted high. Now, anytime your hands are not up here and they come down, if you're not doing this, which is what you're supposed to be doing, if you're not doing this, as soon as they start to come down, these hands should be used simply to serve others and put others above yourself, practicing gentleness, kindness, patience, meekness to those around you, serving wherever you can serve. It's either here or it's here.
It's a blessing for us to bring this program to you every day. We exist only by our faithful partners who support us through their prayers and financial gifts. If Pastor Dudley's message has been a blessing to you, we would like to encourage you to consider joining in partnership with us so we can continue to be here every day to bless others with this important ministry. Your gifts, whether large or small, are greatly appreciated and go directly to help keep us on the air. You can find out more about supporting us by calling our toll-free number, 888-818-4777. That number again is 888-818-4777. We have operators standing by and ready to take your call. You can also support us by going to our website, liftupjesus.com/reach. That address again is liftupjesus.com/ and then the word reach. We have a special gift for everyone listening today to help with your daily Bible reading. It's our Anchored Journal, a complete 365-day Bible reading guide and journal that will help you stay connected to God's Word throughout the coming year. It works with any version of the Bible you are currently reading. The Anchored Journal comes in a choice of colors and can be yours right now for a gift of any size to the Lift Up Jesus ministry. It's as simple as calling our toll-free number, 888-818-4777. You won't want to miss out on this limited time offer, so be sure to call right now. Our number again is 888-818-4777. The Anchored Journal can also be found on our website, liftupjesus.com. That address again is liftupjesus.com.
Hello, my name is Abe Anaya, and I am the Life Groups Director here at Shepherd Church. At Shepherd Church, we take a two-pronged approach in connecting folks with God and one another. We do that through worship services and small group Bible studies. You see, the Christian life is lived out when we are in community with one another. We call these life groups. Shepherd Church life groups are your way to experience a Bible study and Christ-centered community. We want to bring the people of our congregation together to love, serve, encourage one another as we grow to be more like Jesus. You see, Christian relationships are vital here at Shepherd. See how we are all better together by joining a life group. Our groups primarily meet in homes, but some meet in coffee shops, backyards, beaches, and even online. No matter what season of life you're in, there is a group for you. Visit us online at lifegroups.org for more information.
I'm Kyle Welch, inviting you to join us tomorrow at this same time as we again lift up Jesus with Pastor Dudley.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.